Emmanuel got to
there
go.
You go.
There you go.
Rahm Emanuel got to go.
Hey. We got 4 years of that.
Sound of protesting in Chicago. He was shot 16 times in 15 seconds, but in the week since a police video showing Laquan McDonald's death was ordered released by a judge, the 17-year-old has died millions of times as people all over the country and the world watch what Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel didn't want them to see for 13 months.
The video release of the Laquan McDonald killing has confirmed most of our worst fears of what the dash cam could have recorded.
The voice of an angry member of the city of Chicago's Black Caucus last week. The police shooter in the case was charged with murder just before that video was released. And this week, as unrest has continued to build in the city over the video images, the mayor fired Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Here's Mayor Rahm Emanuel at an emotional news conference yesterday.
Superintendent McCarthy and I began a discussion on Sunday about the direction of the department and the undeniable fact that the public trust in the leadership of the department has been shaken and eroded. This morning, I formally asked for his resignation.
But it's bigger than the department, apparently. People are wondering if the 13-month delay had more to do with saving the mayor's job during an election campaign. A preemptive $5 million settlement from the city with the McDonald family included a clause to keep the video confidential. That clause was overturned by the judge, and now the settlement looks suspiciously like hush money to keep the video from affecting Mayor Emanuel's election campaign. Clarence Page, longtime columnist and senior member of the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune, joins us. Clarence, is the mayor in trouble here?
The mayor is in trouble. His trust level has virtually shattered. But he would have been in even more trouble, you could say, if this video had broken during the mayoral campaign last year. He was forced into a runoff, as it was, without police being the major issue in the campaign. And that's why it looks even more suspicious that this video was kept private in the city hands throughout that campaign and up to just a little over a week ago, when a judge declared that there's no reason to keep this secret now and released it. And suddenly that entire case became the number one story in town. Now I think it's State's Attorney Anita Alvarez who's on the hot seat, because she's facing a primary here in March. And there's some big questions around whether or not she was part of some kind of a conspiracy to keep this case private as well.
Let's listen to the mayor just before the video was released. Here he is at a news conference on the November 24th.
I understand that the people will be upset and will want to protest when they see this video. It is fine to be passionate, but it is essential that it remain peaceful. We have a collective responsibility in the city of Chicago, the city we love, to ensure that this opportunity for healing begins now.
Have you seen the video yourself, and can you just give us a general
I'm going to go see it when it becomes public, like everybody else.
Do you think the mayor's being disingenuous there? He understands that people will be upset. He apparently was very concerned about the video, which is possibly why the clause in the settlement agreement made it confidential. So do you really think that he didn't see the video until it went public with everyone else?
It's hard to believe that he didn't see that video. In fact, you could say if he didn't, it was a dereliction of his duty as mayor, understanding that whatever was on that video was going to upset a lot of people. Then he ought to take a look at it himself. And at the same time, there's questions about whether a $5 million settlement was really hush money, since the family apparently came to the city asking for a settlement. That's what city attorneys say in any case. But at the same time, the aldermen had to approve, the city council had to approve this settlement. And so a lot of those aldermen, especially from black wards, are embarrassed that they were a part of awarding that settlement. And they were the first to call for McCarthy to be removed even before the video story broke. So not many people's hands are clean here, shall we say, in this Chicago drama.
Let's listen to the mayor after the video was released, where he really does sound like he doesn't have the situation completely under control anymore.
I've asked five respected Chicagoans who are leaders in the criminal justice system to do a top-to-bottom review of the system of oversight and accountability, training, and transparency that is currently in place for Chicago's police officers.
the old blue ribbon commission gambit that is always used in cases like this. Is this bigger than the police department? And should the five respected Chicagoans maybe be looking at the entire city council?
It is bigger than the department, John, I think. And, you know, it's part of the culture in the city. You know, and we haven't even talked about the Burger King video and other aspects of this case that point to down on the grassroots level in the department, a cover-up going on. And so the questions are raised, you know, how high up does it go? Has the mayor done all that he could to clean up that culture of corruption and half-stepping? And obviously there's more that could be done. At the same time, the mayor's been very busy with the fact that the city is broke. He came into office with the city deeply in debt and no easy way to solve that crisis. And so in many ways, Emmanuel is in hot water here, but in a way he kind of knew that when he took the job.
The Burger King allegation that you spoke about refers to a Burger King video camera tape that the police got after the investigation began, and that there's suddenly a very long deletion on that tape.
Right.
Is part of the commission's responsibility to figure out what happened to that Burger King video? And if that goes beyond the police department, we're talking criminal violations here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a big, interesting mystery here. Now, I've been told that FBI experts have looked at the tape and said it hasn't been tampered with. But, you know, immediately after the shooting of Laquan McDonald, the police went into the nearby Burger King and asked to look at the tape from the security camera. And the manager says they looked at the tape. And then the next day, that tape had this big gap in it. And that raises questions about, you know, did police officers do this? They deny it. However, it looks like very, very suspicious that officers would have behaved in that fashion. And there's also witnesses who say that police officers on the scene had chased witnesses away rather than take down their names, that witnesses brought to the station house were kept waiting 2 or 3 hours while they were persuaded to change their stories. They didn't change them, but they were persuaded, urged to change their details of their narrative to match the police narrative. In fact, one witness says he was told that they have video showing that the police officers acted in self-defense, which would be a lie. So there's a lot of things that need to be investigated here, and they are being looked at by both the local and federal officials.
Looking at the fallout from the Laquan McDonald shooting in the city of Chicago, more fallout to come. Clarence Page is a columnist and senior member of the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune. Clarence, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.